Welcome to City Light Church. We're so glad to have you online with us today. You know, God has called us to live empowered lives. In our series, The Empowered Life, we've talked about the empowerment of focus. You know, what we get focused on can either empower us or defeat us. Last week, we talked about purpose. We were created on purpose, for a purpose. Purpose can give us life and energy. Today, my message is called The Empowerment of Expectations. Søren Kierkegaard, the Danish philosopher, once told a story about a goose who was wounded and he landed in a barnyard with some chickens. And he played with the chickens and he ate with the chickens. And after a while, that goose thought he was a chicken. Well, one day a flight of geese came over, migrated to their home, and they gave a honk up there in the sky. And he heard it. Kierkegaard said, "Something stirred within the breast of this goose. Something called him to the skies." And he began to flap the wings that he hadn't used. And he rose a few feet in the air. And then he stopped. And he settled back down again into the mud of the barnyard. He heard the cry, but he settled for less. How many of us are settling for less? Less than what God intended for our lives. How many of us have gotten our hopes up only to have them dashed? How many of us have heard the call of God on our lives, our families, our careers? We've gotten inspired. We get to rise to the call. And then we just let it fizzle out. You know, there are a number of reasons why we don't always live up to our calling. But I believe the biggest one is that we have not tapped into the power of expectations. If the truth was known, we would find out that most of us are not advancing spiritually. We're not experiencing God more fully or developing personally because we do not expect for those things to happen anymore. See, somewhere along the line, we just gave up hope for a better tomorrow. And in the process, we forgot what it was like to live in anticipation of a bright future. Let's go to the first chapter of Philippians. There we find the Apostle Paul. He's holed up in his prison cell and he's writing to a church at Philippi. And rather than finding a man who's given up hope for the future, we find a man that is still filled with the power of expectation. Now, the life of Paul, if you read it, is an amazing story. You know, and we can make his story our story today, and we can begin to experience what it means to live our lives fully expecting God to do great things. See, we're going to do that today by basically answering two questions. Two questions. Number one, what happens when I live in expectation? No, as I said before, some people have simply stopped expecting. They've accumulated enough of life's of disappointments to become afraid to dream, afraid to reach out, to stretch, to broaden the horizons. But God wants to free us into tomorrow to show us that there's always something to reach for, something better just over the horizon. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 1, verse 20, "I eagerly expect and hope." Now, if there was ever a guy that you could expect for not living in eager anticipation and hope, Paul would be the guy. Yet he lives his life with the power of expectation, even from a prison cell. So the question is, what happens when I live with the power of expectation? Here's what happens. Number one, I rise above the storm. Someone said your attitude determines your altitude. The eagle in the sky would agree with that. See, when we take the steps that we're going to look at in just a few minutes, you'll find that you'll be one of a very small percentage of people living on this planet who are actually rising above. You'll be focused not just on who you are, but on who you will become. And you will find out very quickly that you're just one of the few who live with the power of expectation, waiting to see what God will achieve through you. You will rise above the norm because your outlook on life and the potential of what can be accomplished through God's power runs completely contrary to how most people view the world around them and their own place in this world. You know, we talk about power. We're talking about power. Last week, I was looking for a sports channel and I was flipping through the channel and I came across this event called the 2019 World Champion Arm Wrestling Final. And these two big guys, just great big hulks almost, and they're just going in this wrestling match. And it just, you know, it almost mesmerized me. I was so caught up with the drama and the tension. and the power. So I'm going to show you just a small clip out of that. Just watch this.
Ladies and gentlemen, for all those inside of Rams Head Live in Baltimore, Maryland, and for all those streaming live on BR Live around the world, it is time for the main event. First to the table at 6'1", weighing 334 pounds out of Rehoboth, Mass., one of the most feared arm wrestlers anywhere in the world, Jerry Catterett. His opponent is widely known as the best arm wrestler in the world. Respected across the globe and a true ambassador of the sport. He is 6'5", weighing in at 260 pounds. Give it up for Devin No Limits Larratt.
Oh, yeah. There he is. Oh, yeah. Six-time WAL champion.
He's done
Here
it all.
We go. This is what the fans have been waiting for.
Yes.
I think Devin's going to control this match through the hand and not play into Jerry's game. It's going to make Jerry uncomfortable.
What a match this has been. 2-2, the best of five.
Deciding round. USA chance in the background. 2-2. Round five. Everything on the table. Let's get it.
We're getting it. Great to have you with us wherever you're watching on BR Live.
Stop fighting
tonight.
Me. Just let him tighten.
I'm not doing
as
it.
Soon as that strap tightens, Ben, it's fireworks time. It's going to be the 4th of July in here. Here we go, fans. Get up out of your seats. I don't care if you're at home. Get up out of your seats for this one. Here we go, round five.
Right there.
Who wants it more?
Now watch it.
Right there.
See, slowly coming back.
Back it up, Devin. Right there. Close your hands. Go.
There it is. Wow, there it is. And it's Devin.
Yes,
and it's Devin.
It is.
And it's Devin. My goodness.
He takes it in 5-3-2. And it's Devin Larratt.
Wow.
To claim the sixth match of the night. And
wow.
That was an absolute war.
Wow. That was the match of the night. If you want to ask me who got match of the night, it's a no-brainer. Right there, you just saw it.
Yep.
Five rounds, war, back and forth. Every single round went back and forth, Ben.
It did. What a battle between two great competitors. Devin Larratt takes up Jerry Catterett 3-2, but it was not easy. As we'll look back at the pin from Larratt that ended it.
Larratt, he had more shoulder, more commitment. There it is. He puts the shoulder in with the press. And Jerry just couldn't get enough of his body behind it. Devin puts in the shoulder and presses right to the pad. Wow. Devin Larratt just made a massive statement. He's ready to face the heaviest, strongest, best in the
world. You know, I got to say, wow. This guy is not normal. And he is focused, he is confident, and it shows. He's Devin Larratt, Devin No Limits Larratt. And he's the guy that has learned not to live like normal people do. He's the guy that's learned to rise above the norm. And he's not even a believer in Christ. Listen, when you and I, when we live with the power of expectation, we begin to rise above the norm. And number two, you and I live with the power of expectation, I can achieve what I can conceive. Paul said, Philippians 1 verse 20, I eagerly expect and hope. That phrase, eagerly expect, is only one word in the original language of Greek. It's the Greek word, aprokeradokia. I know I didn't pronounce that right. But it literally means to look away from the head. It refers to the intense expectation of something that is sure to happen. It's living in expectation, seeing in your mind's eye what it is that God is going to accomplish in this world, in your life and in the church. You know, it's living in the realm of what will be, believing in faith that God will accomplish exactly what he has promised, like in his word. You know, when you can conceive that, you will begin to achieve that. Not because you're a powerful person, but because you have placed your faith in a powerful God. Once a man came to Jesus to see if he could cast an evil spirit out of his son. The man pleaded with Jesus, saying, "Do something if you can." Mark chapter 9, verse 23. "If you can," said Jesus, "everything is possible for him who believes." When we're living in expectation, we're not asking, "God, if you can," but rather we're stating by the way we live our lives, "God, we know you can." Number three, when I live empowered by expectation, I move forward in confidence. Rather than timidly going through life, wondering if anything good will ever come out of the promises of God, you know, you stand upright, your chest thrust forward, and you start claiming the promise that Paul said in Philippians 1 verse 6, where he said, "I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns." And the writer of Hebrews chapter 10 verse 35 says, "Do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded." Don't throw away your confidence. Don't throw away your expectation. So when you are empowered by expectation, number one, you can rise above. Number two, you can achieve what you can conceive. And number three, you can move forward in life with great confidence. The second question, question number two. So then how do I begin to live in expectation? How do I tap into the power of expectation? Here's how. Number one, you live for Christ and not for yourself. No, I'm not talking about the power of positive thinking like so many secular sources will point you to. I'm talking about living a life that is entirely focused on Jesus Christ rather than yourself and draws your power from him. There's a great scripture in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10, the Passion Version. These are the words of Apostle Paul. This is what he says. "Be supernaturally infused with strength through your life, union with the Lord Jesus. Stand victorious with the force of his explosive power flowing in and through you." You know, there's a footnote at the end of the, just behind that word force, and that word says weapons. Weapons. We've been given powerful spiritual weapons in order to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Philippians chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, Paul says, "I eagerly expect and hope that I in no way will be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage, so that now as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is to gain." Here in this scripture, Paul eagerly expects three things. Three things that we need to expect for our lives as well. Number one, that he would never do anything that would cause shame to Christ. Number two, that he would always have courage, be bold for Christ. And number three, his life would always honor Christ. You know, his ability to do this as well as our own begins by admitting that we are not number one in our lives, but Jesus is number one. It's just so simple. It's as simple as that. You know, unlike the arm wrestling champion Devin Lurat, you, if you want to live in the power and expectation of what God has given for you, then you need to live for Christ, then not for yourself. Number two, live to serve and not to be served. Jesus spoke to his disciples the night before he was betrayed. This was at the Last Supper. Luke chapter 22, verse 27. He said to them, "For who is greater, the one who's at the table or the one who serves?" See, they were arguing as to who is the greatest. Then he said, "Is it not the one who's at the table? But I am among you as one who serves." You know, we've been so conditioned to serve ourselves. or even better, to get others to serve us. But living with expectation begins with serving, not being served. Philippians 1, 21 and 22. Paul said, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me." See, the power of expectation doesn't revolve around what I'm going to get, but rather on what I'm able to give. What I'm looking forward to is not what God can do for me, and not even what I can do for God, even for myself, but what God can do through me. And you see, there's a big difference there. To live an empowered life, number three, is to live to improve the lives of other people. In other words, to empower others. Rather than investing time, talents, efforts towards only improving ourselves, we need to recognize the importance of working towards improving the lives of the people that God has put around us. You see, when I focus only on improving myself, yeah, I benefit myself. But listen, when I focus on improving your life, we both benefit greatly. You know, at the end of this video that I watched about this arm wrestling video, the champion, Devin Durant, is being interviewed after the victory. And he's being asked the question, "So now, what's left? I mean, you've done everything. You've won 6 world titles. And you've won a title that was way above your weight potential. But you've even beat the best of the best in the heaviest weight division." Well, you know, Devin is an ambassador to his sport. And what he does is, as being asked this question, he begins to challenge the audience. He challenges others. And he's calling others out to be champions, improving not just his life, but improving their lives. Devin says words like, "Listen, if you're out there and you want to be one of the strongest people in the sport, well, we're waiting. Not just me, but all the real grassroots strength athletes out there, they're waiting." No, he's throwing out a challenge, calling us to not just to improve our lives, but he wants to improve the lives of other people. You know what? Christ is calling us, but even in a most powerful, profound way. He's calling us to a greater eternal call, to be champions of faith, to be more than conquerors, to be world changers, to be more like Jesus Christ in this world for the glory of God. Paul said in Philippians 20, verses 23 to 26, chapter 1, "I am torn. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, will overflow on account of me." See, Paul knew that in death, that he'd be with Christ forever, but in life, he'd be able to continue to improve the lives of others. You know, that's the kind of thing that God blesses. That's the kind of life God blesses. This is a scripture in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18, which says this: "Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old." Now, the prophet Isaiah is addressing the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel is being called by God to forget the failures and disappointments, the guilt and the shame of the past, because God has more for them. You know, and this prophet, really what he's doing, he's warning us today also not to be prisoners of a negative past, not be limited by our past. Verse 18, he says, "Remember not the former things." And verse 19, he says, "Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it?" See, God is calling us from memory to expectancy. And the point is not to forget the blessings of the past. The point is to see and to recognize that God's blessings are new, and they're for us now and in our future. God's new thing will so transcend the past. It's like the nation of Israel, the things that they experienced in the past, like coming out of Egypt, going through the Exodus, or going through the parting the waters, seeing the waters being parted, the Red Sea part being parted and going through. I mean, those are incredible things that God did in the past. But he says to them, I'm going to do something even greater, even better for you. The Red Sea God is literally saying to us today too as well, you ain't seen nothing yet. He's calling us, I said, from memory to expectancy, to look to a future that will transcend our past. You know, as far as I'm concerned, for me, I'm not just looking for it, I'm expecting it. You know, living expectantly means more than just believing the church in church doctrines, more than just believing in the scriptures. It means more than just trusting my life to God. Living expectantly is, someone said, faith on tiptoe. It's like faith standing on tiptoes. Living expectantly means believing God that life is worth living. Believing that even for me, my ministry will never become routine for me. The dullness of duty. I live in expectancy that in my life, God will do a new thing that will transcend the past. See, you've got to understand this. Faith and expectation are not the same thing. They're closely related, but they're different. You can have faith without expectation. You can believe the Bible is true. You can have faith in the promises of God. You can believe the scriptures like this one in Isaiah 53, where he says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. The punishment that brought us peace was put upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. See, you can believe that scripture, that word, that God heals, but you don't expect healing to manifest in your own life. It's like you've been sick for so long that you simply can't imagine you could ever be healed. See, expectation is the breeding ground for miracles. Faith plus expectations equals miracles. Isaiah describes this new thing as unexpected, unprecedented. And then in verse 19, Isaiah 43, 19, God says, I will make a way in the desert and rivers. I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. He's referring to it as a highway in the desert, water in the desert. But we don't want to miss the point here. The desert, the point is that the desert is still there, and so are God's blessing. God's new thing will not be in the absence of deserts in your life. It'll be right in the middle of a desert. It says here that God plans a new thing right in the middle of your desert. And so I can wake up each day with excitement because there are things in store for me every day that because God is doing a new thing. You know, I believe that in our homes, in our marriages, in our spiritual life, that God is doing a new thing. You know, I believe it. And I'm going to challenge you, and I'm challenging you to live expectancy and live expectantly. That God can not just do it for me and for someone else, that God would do it for you. In your home, your career, your life, in your church, you know, in your experience. God is doing a new thing for you. And you can trust it because God's promise is always backed up by God's power. Can you say amen to that? Someone shout amen. Today I want to finish with a story. And the story goes this way. He was just a little fellow. His mother died when he was just a child. His father, in trying to be both mommy and daddy, had planned a picnic. The little boy had never been on a picnic. So they made their plans, fixed the lunch, and packed the car. Then it was time to go to bed, for the picnic was the next day. Well, he just couldn't go to sleep. He tossed, he turned excitedly. Finally, the little boy got out of bed. He ran into the room where his father had already fallen asleep. He shook him. His father woke up and said to him, what are you doing up? What's the matter? And the boy said, I can't sleep. The father asked, why can't you sleep? And the little boy said, Daddy, I'm excited about tomorrow. And the father replied, well, son, I'm sure you are. And it's going to be a great day, but it won't be great if we don't get some sleep. So go back to bed. And so the boy went back to his room, got into bed, but he couldn't sleep. And soon he was up and he was pushing and shoving his father. And his father opened his eyes and harsh words almost came out of his mouth until he saw the expression on his little boy's face. And the father asked, "What's the matter now?" And the little boy said, "Daddy, I just want to thank you for tomorrow." You are a child of God. He is your daddy. He is your heavenly father. So today I want to challenge you. I challenge you to live an empowered life, a life that is empowered by expectations, that God will do this new thing in your life, in your home, in your experience, so that you can say, "Father, I want to thank you for tomorrow." God wants you to have a good life, a life that's filled with hope and expectations of a better life. And he wants you to know today that he came to earth to do his work of salvation for you. If you were the only one who ever lived, you'd be the reason for his coming. So receive him now, and he will radically alter your life, now and for eternity. And if that's you, say this simple prayer, and I promise you, you will never be the same. Your life will never be the same. Repeat these words after me. You can bow your heads, you can close your eyes, but say these words after me. Dear Jesus, I know that I am a sinner. I believe that you died on the cross and that you shed your blood to pay for my sins. Today, Lord, I repent. I turn from my sins, and I ask you to come into my heart to be Lord and Savior of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Now, if you said that prayer, if you made that decision, please let us know. Push the button at the bottom of the screen, that little hand. Let us know you made that decision. And then call the number at the bottom of the screen, and we'll connect you to someone who will tell you what your next faith step in the Lord is. So important to receive Christ as Lord and Savior, but it's only the beginning. God has so much more for you. Call us to find out what your next step will be. Thank you so much for joining us today. We're so glad that you came and were a part of our service. So we hope to see you next week. God bless you.